Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast. This is episode number 110. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I am the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience to help people start and run co-working spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. Two announcements before we dive into today's episode, which I'm super excited about, although I say that all the time about every guest, but I love all the guests and I love all of our content and I love this industry, so I should come up with something unique to say about every single guest. Two big announcements. One, tickets are on sale and early bird tickets, by the time this is out, should be just about gone for the Global Workspace Association Co-working and Flexible Office Conference, which is September 18th through the 20th in Washington, D.C. Check out all the details at thegwaconference.com. I will put the links in the show notes, but we kept it pretty straightforward. So that's a .com. Super excited about this year. Wednesday is a workshop day. So perfect day to work on your business instead of in your business with other operators that are investing in their professional development and trying to grow their business. And then Thursday and Friday are 2 days of great content. And of course, fantastic social events, which we're in the middle of planning. Some group outings in the evening, happy hours that are hosted on site. We have lots of excitement for you at the event. It is my favorite time of the year, besides all the work that I do with my co-working startup school students and flight group students. To see everyone in person is such a treat. So don't miss out. If you can, any chance you can make it, you should definitely get a ticket. Early bird tickets are discounted and there's only 100 of them. So as soon as they're gone, they're gone. So make sure you grab yours as soon as you can. Second announcement. I have been thinking about this problem for a long time and finally decided to just get to it and bring a solution. So the problem that many of us have, and if you haven't opened your space yet, you may not be aware of this problem yet, but you soon will be, is training community managers. Training them and supporting them and giving them a professional development path doesn't exist until you have multiple locations and someone who's managing that team and has the time and the resources to create a training program. And even then, it's hard to give them kind of a path of moving forward in the industry. So I am creating a community manager university to help solve that problem. So for the owners, it is basically boot camp. Well, the start of it is boot camp for your community manager. So helping them learn the basics of the industry and the role and just general professional development things like managing their time, learning how to read a P&L, learning how to work with difficult customers, and also giving them a community that they can leverage for support. And for those with single locations, your community manager can sometimes feel like they are on an island with not a lot of support except for their boss. And if you get into their brain, they don't want to use their boss to help them solve all their problems. They want to be self-sufficient. So giving them content that they can use to learn and develop and grow, and then connections that they can leverage to solve problems, celebrate, vent, and just grow a community. And the program is designed to create a development path for them over time. So they could jump in at any level, depending on where they're at, but starting at total newbie, maybe even, you know, new to the work world. Most of us don't hire, you know, folks right out of college. But if you get somebody who's kind of early in their career, they're still learning how to work, right? So they still need a lot of support around managing up and, you know, creating agendas for meetings and managing time and all those types of things. So that path will go all the way to helping a community manager prepare to be a general manager and manage multiple locations. So they can they can travel through that success path and grow and develop, and it'll be a standard sort of curriculum that you don't have to develop, but can give to your community manager as support. I think this is also a great recruiting tool because a lot of times folks want to know, well, what kind of support will I get? And this is a small business, and how will I grow? And sort of what opportunities are there? And so this program will help them see the path and see that you've invested in a resource, and also just help them understand what the transferable skills are. So we know that in many markets, community managers are not going to stay with us for 5 years of their life, but we might retain them longer if they feel like they're developing and learning and are connected and getting experience that they can leverage elsewhere. So I have launched the beta group for that program and am loading content. In the next couple of weeks, I will be sending an invite to join the founding members group for that program. So if you are interested in accessing a community manager program for your team, you can get on the waitlist at everythingcoworking.com/community managers. Enough of the intro. Let's dive into today's topic. I have back as a multi-time returning guest, Mara Hauser. And I go into the intro as soon as we dive into the podcast, so I won't dwell. But for those of you who are new to Mara, she has been on 3 other episodes, and she's very kind of prevalent in the industry and wears this really unique role of being both a co-working space operator and a designer of co-working spaces. So she is going to share with us her experiences at NeoCon, which is a big commercial design industry conference that she attended last week. Excuse the dog barking in the background. Let's dive into the session. Thank you all for joining us. I am excited. I have Mara Hauser on the line once again today. Mara is the CEO and founder of 25 North Coworking. She has locations in Geneva, Illinois, Arlington Heights, Illinois, and recently opened, although not that recently now, Mara, you'll have to give us an update, but in Frisco, Texas. She is also the founding principal at Workplace Studio. She does design work for the industry and outside of the industry. And she is the president of the League of Extraordinary Coworking Spaces. And if you are a regular listener by now, you know Mara. She was on episode number 50 on suburban coworking, number 80 on the design process for coworking spaces, and number 100 on how the contract furniture world works for co-working spaces. So if you're not a regular listener, definitely go back and catch those episodes. And today, Mara is here because she was at NeoCon, and we'll tell you what that stands for and all about it in a minute. But Mara, she was there last week and is going to give us a download of the event and what we need to know as co-working space operators. Mara, thanks for joining me again today.
Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and Mara, you're in Arlington Heights today.
I am in Arlington Heights today. Had a little traffic jam on the way here, but beautiful Arlington Heights, Illinois, one of our fun offices.
Yeah. Were you in Frisco last week?
I was in Frisco a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And was there for most of the week. So, yeah, Frisco's going well. There's lots of activity stirring up, and it's just a hotbed of lots of things happening in the Dallas area. So, we're very excited about our space there.
Good. Yeah, Dallas is one of the fastest growing kind of areas in the country right now. So, lots of opportunity for co-working. Awesome. So, and then last week, sorry, of course you weren't in Frisco this whole week. You can tell us when you were there. Tell us, do you know what NeoCon stands for?
So I have the directory in front of me just so I can quote exactly what it stands for, but it is the world's leading platform for commercial design. So what NeoCon is hosted at the Merchandise Mart in Chicago, in the area right around the River North area in Chicago. And the Merchandise Mart, used to be the largest landlord of commercial furniture manufacturers and their showrooms. They don't manufacture there, but it's just a showroom, a design center. So everything from office furniture, carpet, fabrics, seating, accessories, all that you can think about. In the years, the Merchandise Mart has changed a little bit of its platform, and they have a lot of residential showrooms as well. Mm-hmm. They also have a couple floors of high-end kitchen, so like kitchen designers. And recently it's turned into some office space, and one of the famous co-working spaces, 1871, is also housed in the Neocon building, yeah, which is Merchandise Mart.
Yeah, there's another one there too called Matter.
Yes.
Yeah, that's fairly substantial. Yeah, anyway, I think the Merchandise Mart itself, at one point, I don't know if it still is, it was like the second largest building in the country outside
correct.
Of the Pentagon.
Yeah. It has its own zip code. I mean, that's how big it is. So, you know, it originally was owned by the Kennedy family. I think the Kennedys are still involved in the building, the property right on the Chicago River, and it's just beautiful. Manufacturers used to have big semi-trucks decorated with their logos and stuff, and you could go and walk in and kind of like a trailer kind of showroom as well. But this year, Hayworth totally did it up, and they used the whole riverfront for event space. So outdoor, beautiful seating, lounging, cocktails, breakfast, all kinds of things that you could do, sitting, which is the driveway that goes past the building, but right on the river. So it was really nice walking up to it and seeing, you know, much more of an outdoor, beautiful space than just a bunch of trucks lined up too. So that was nice.
Wait, so do we know what that that acronym stands for?
Neocon.
Yeah.
I think it's contract furniture, like the new, newest and greatest innovation. So this is the world's furniture fair. So anybody who comes out with new products as a contract manufacturer, this is the place they show them. It's, you know, like if you are a fashion designer, you have your runway show, you know, and that's like the new things coming out. This is what the contract furniture market does with their new products and solutions. It comes out at Neocon, basically.
Yep, I found it. National Exhibition of Contract Furniture.
Good job.
Yep, there we go. Thank you, Google. Awesome. Okay, so, well, let's start out with, why do you attend?
So I'm not going to tell you how many years I've attended. But so this has
we
been
won't ask.
Thank you. So as you know, I'm a licensed commercial interior designer, and being in Chicago, and even contract designers all over the world come to Neocon to see what's the latest and greatest. I attend there for like kind of four real things. One, education. They have seminars for all the 3 days that Neocon goes through. Actually, it's Monday through Wednesday, and it was this week. So those are things that have CEU credits and or, you know, just kind of hearing from people about particular subject matter in different tracks. They have a dealer track, they have a designer track, they have, you know, all different kinds of things. I go there also for inspiration. I love getting inspired by seeing like new designs, but it's also so interesting to see what the manufacturers are investing in. What they're saying is the next and latest thing that we should all know about. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. And the last thing is, you know, seeing what the trends are. Interesting, the difference between maybe manufacturers or how they all blend together. You know, what's coming out in new carpet tiles, whether it's the materials that are the components of the carpet itself or the patterns, sizes of carpet tile shapes, different things like that, or different floor materials, how it goes into fabrics, how it goes into the furniture itself. So education, inspiration, what are the manufacturers investing in, and like what are the trends for the coming year?
Yeah, I mean, when you mentioned that outdoor feature that Hayworth invested in, I thought, well, they must be saying like, look, you know, consumers of workplace love to be outside. Here's a solution to, you know, to help them enjoy that and be able to do that at work.
Yes, there was a session. I missed it. I had a meeting. I couldn't go that day, but there was a whole session, which was a keynote talk about designing for outdoor workspaces. So very interesting.
Yeah, I love that, which is applicable. So my next question that I had put in our prep notes for our call was, you know, who should operators, co-working space operators, think about attending, or, you know, what would be the ROI for them to attend? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you have sort of both hats, designer and, you know, co-working space operator.
Right. Well, it's a great place to go as an operator if you're evaluating furniture solutions, and you can like walk from one end of a floor to another, or between, let's say, three floors in the merchandise mart, to look at the different product solutions and do an apples to apples comparison. It's just easy to do that there.
It's like a total one-stop shop, and it's not like looking at things on the internet. You can touch it, feel it, sit in the chairs, really get a sense for what the furniture is like.
Exactly. So that would be the number one reason. Number two, again, is if you're thinking of opening new spaces, I mean, our Frisco space, although we just opened in April, we designed it 2 years ago. So, you know, in a new space today, if we're designing a new space that we'll start designing now, it's not, some things have changed, you know, in trends and or what's working or what's not working. We like to make pivots from something that we did over 2 years ago. So it's nice to see, you know, the solutions that people are coming up with. And like, for example, a big thing that I saw, so I'm kind of jumping ahead, but one of the big things I saw is, how do you separate space? You know, there's been a lot of talk about the open workspace is dead, you know, or that people don't like being in the open area as much as everyone thought they did. So there were a lot of solutions between the manufacturers of all different kinds of how to divide or separate space vertically, and with what types of materials, versus just the old style like panels or drywall. So that's just something that, you know, they see things happening in the marketplace, or, you know, they're doing research. All these major manufacturers spend millions of dollars on research annually and do studies. And what do they say are solutions? So that any operator would benefit from that.
Right. And as an operator, I would hope that my designer would be attending these events.
Absolutely.
Right. Because you're basically saying, look, I go for professional development and to make sure I'm really on top of everything that's changing and evolving, and you know, looking to see what's new and helping you to think about what should I be thinking about, you know, if these guys are doing all this research and seeing these challenges and solutions. And of course, you know, we talk about the co-working model being, it's not the exact same as a, you know, a typical corporate office. You know, there are different considerations, but, you know, to your point, a lot of those solutions can translate. And
yeah,
I love the example you just gave about like, look, people are always looking for ways to kind of like aesthetic, in an aesthetically pleasing, hip, modern way, manage the open space. Like, we don't want the old, you know, cubicle panels, but then what?
Right.
So one place where you can go and really see what's happening here and thinking about, you know, to your point, if you're a multi-space operator, then, you know, you're constantly working on new locations, what's next and what can be better than what I've already done.
Well, like, for example, last year at NeoCon, I met up with Liz Alam, and she was doing research for some product solutions for one of her clients. So that was just walking around with her, you know, just, we see things a little differently in the design perspective. Yeah. And this year I met up with Alex Sharp, and he is with IQ in the Canada market. And he, although he has another designer, he didn't come with his designer, but we met up with the head of design for Workplace Studio and myself and another designer were walking around. And we met up and started walking around and talking about it and just kind of things that maybe he hadn't thought about either, you know? So when you look at a space, you're not in a showroom environment. It's just, I was like, okay, well, look at the spaces. This is your 8x10 footprint. And what can you do in 8x10 in collaborative areas? So here's four different examples right here.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are they different? Why do they work? And why would this not necessarily work for co-working? Which is kind of funny because he said this, which it was totally true, but he's like, well, Mari, you're just different because you're the designer, but you're also an operator.
Yeah.
Right. So you're looking at things like, oh, look at this great design, but oh, that just won't work in co-working and this is why, you know, or it would, you know?
Yeah, such a unique lens. So I sort of picture it being like, because I was at IKEA last weekend, like, you know, when you go into IKEA and they have all those sample rooms.
Yes.
And it's so different than seeing, you know, you can look at the marketplace and like, oh, that box is in, you know, aisle 22, spot 15.
Right.
But you get no sense of like, well, what does it look like in a room and what's the scale and how do things interact? And so my sense is that NeoCon gives you that opportunity to really like feel how things
feel.
Yeah.
Well, it always didn't. In the past, in the showrooms, basically displayed all the different products. Like you would go to a car dealership. I know I've referenced car dealerships when I talk about contract furniture before, but they would have, these are all of our options. And you can see like, here is the same layout of a workstation, but here are in the five different product lines we have. And you could basically go in and, you know, kick the tires, you know, open the drawers, like look and see, you know, how things blend together, sit in the chairs, move them up and down, all that. But this year they were very different. They really represented more of what a real office environment would look like versus a product showroom. And a lot of what they're showing in the showrooms themselves, because they have floors of just showrooms with permanent leased space by them, some of the manufacturers, but then they have on the seventh floor, it's a smattering of booths. The entire floor is covered with booths. They have software booths and, like, you know, Doug Mockett, who does wire management, has like 10 booths in a row basically that took over. So if you think of like the GWA conference or whatever those booths are, yep. The same idea, because they don't have permanent space in the mart, but yet, you know, they're there. But the showrooms typically were more of a showroom, but now they're really saying, like Steelcase, for example, they have a showroom, but then they also had a collaboration hub. So just come hang out. OFS, which is another manufacturer, which I love their showroom. I can talk about that later, but they also had they had frozen popsicles and just places where you can plug in your laptop or plug in your iPhone, sit down, take a breather. And that was just come hang out in our space and no one's going to sell to you. No one's going to come up and talk to you. So they're really focused more on experience versus just being a showroom and like really visualizing what you can see. So
you noted in your notes about the event that you're seeing a shift in office furniture away from workstations and private offices, or maybe just what they're showcasing, but talk a little to a shift to collaboration spaces, which you just described. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So, typical office spaces, not just co-working, but even office environments that are picking up some of the co-working trends, both ways, are really minimizing the amount of square foot per person and much more into having shared workspaces for people when they come and go versus only dedicated desks. Yep. Obviously, legal departments and accounting departments and those type of things need permanent storage and a permanent desk, but other people don't. And really kind of trying to find ways where people can make connections when they are in the office. And that would be collaboration zones, those type of things. So lounges, meeting areas, gathering spaces, cafes, and really a lot of the showroom displays looked like a hotel lobby to me. Exactly. So very much layered area rugs, pillows, you know, blanket throws, all kinds of different things that make it cozy,
yep.
Which make it even more residential looking, but I'll say it still had more of a hotel look than a home look. Yeah. And that's very different in the office world of the past, you know?
Right. And is the furniture all powered?
Everything's powered, of course. Yeah.
We were talking about that, I think, in my Slack group the other day about, or maybe it was on one of my Flight group calls. Do you invest in furniture that's powered? Or do we assume everything's going to have powerless charging in the next few years?
Well, right now it doesn't. So, yeah. We have to design for today.
Okay. Yeah. And just know eventually that'll probably be obsolete, but for now.
Because basically you have to put the power in the walls.
Right.
With these charging units, or if it's in the furniture, but furniture is mobile, you can move it around.
Also just makes it, you know, to your point, if you're going to sit down on a couch and you can plug your phone into the, you know, base of the couch, or, you know, plug your computer in to charge it up, like how it's even better. And, you know, cords all, you know, kind of dragging across the floor. And
so I also think there's a big, so the reason I think they're not showing as much of the office furniture itself or workstations and a lot more of these, lounge type areas, is because that's what furniture manufacturers are selling now. Everyone has desks. Everyone has maybe workstations, but they don't have these, you know, cozy nooks or collaboration areas for people. So that is, you know, in the past in an office design, I think it was like 10 to 15% of the space was set for your reception area, lounge area, maybe you had your cafe, but there weren't couches and lounge chairs, and that wasn't just scattered around the space. But now they say between 40 and 60% of the workspace or in square feet have collaboration areas in them. So that's a whole new thing for breaking up workspaces. And that's why, because, you know, for furniture manufacturers, they have to sell what they're going to, they have to show what they're going to sell. And right now that's what they're selling.
Yeah. So. And it's a way for them to differentiate. It's probably fun for them. Like, oh my gosh, people are buying something other than desks and benching. Yeah. And yeah.
It's like I put in my notes, it's like, well, it's a little sexy to showcase that, you know, it's more fun to show lounge furniture and than a desk, right? So yeah. Just kind of make it come in. And plus people are actually sitting and lounging in the space, having discussions and meetings versus standing and walking around the showroom. So it makes people linger more in their space.
Yeah. So your notes mentioned some of the specific aspects of those zones that you liked, like wallpaper, plants. Talk a little bit more about that.
In the spaces, like what people did to make it different was they really made the space look more comfortable by like elements. So first of all, everyone has green space. Everyone. Mm-hmm. So by greens, whether you can look out a window or not, but there are plants everywhere. Warmed. The colors people are using are very different than they were. We saw either a lot of jewel tones, very warm, you know, strong colors, and or pastels, which is very interesting. There's a whole lot of pink there.
What do you think about pastel? Every time I look at a picture of the wing, which is, their designs are beautiful, I think, oh my God, what happens when somebody spills coffee?
Well, exactly. So operationally, it's a problem. Yes. But in a showroom. But I think there's a big focus on, you know, women-focused spaces and mm-hmm. women in the office. So I think this pastel/pink mauve trend is that there's a lot of notice going to like the wing or these other female-focused co-working spaces and appealing to the women who go to work. So now I'm, as a woman, not really into pink in the office, but I'm much more into having clean spaces. So
totally right. Like,
and a white carpet, like
minor OCD.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you know, it's there. It's something to pay attention to. You know, it doesn't, maybe your pink is on a wall. It doesn't.
Yeah, or accessories.
Maybe it's a throw pillow. And, yeah. So those are just some things to think about. But wallpaper is huge, which is very interesting because it gives it more of a residential feel. Mm-hmm. But wallpaper is so much easier to clean and keep clean. There's a couple of things we saw. Benjamin Moore came out with a new product, a paint product that is scuff resistant. So they had a booth and it's called Scuff X.
Oh.
Great. So, I mean, they say it's a breakthrough single component scuff resistant latex paint for high traffic commercial spaces.
Wow.
So they literally had us scraping the wall and you can't even see it. That's so I was amazing. Like, I know it.
The little things we get excited about.
Right. It's like, it's $40 a gallon is what they were saying for retail. But if you think how many times are you repainting things or having to put chair guards up in meeting room walls or, you know, fabric panels or something just to protect the walls and make it look good all the time. I mean, that's huge. But wallpaper also is much more durable. Mm. So in high traffic areas, I recommend using wallpaper and, you know, corner guards and things like that. But the wallpaper that they're showing is very organic. So there's lots of really fun wallpapers out with like trees, lots of black and white patterns, prints, very different, but it's everywhere in the Econ this year. So definitely.
Are you thinking about some wallpaper in one of your next spaces?
Well, we have a lot of wallpaper in Frisco.
Oh,
going down
Frisco yet.
Yeah. Any of our main traffic call areas, like going down to our fitness gym, going from the garage space into the main space, we use wallpaper. We have wallpaper as the backdrop to all of our coffee stations where we have tile and wallpaper, so it's easy to clean. But Wait till you see our booth at GWA. We're going to have some fun wallpaper there.
Oh, good. I can't wait. Good to know. Exciting. Speaking of which, let's do a plug for the GWA conference.
Okay, go ahead.
Coming up, mark your calendars. We are almost sold out on early bird tickets. This will be airing. We might be sold out by the time this airs. So run, don't walk. The website is thegwaconference.com, and you can see the speakers and the sessions. We're going to talk in a second about the education component of NeoCon, but we're doing a full day of workshops on Wednesday, exhibitors, so there'll be a showroom like Mara just described, and Workplace Studio is going to have a booth, so you can meet Mara in person, chat with her about all your design questions, and her team, of course. And then we have some amazing speakers. The Ritz-Carlton is doing our keynote, and Lisa Picard, who is the CEO of EQ Office, one of the largest landlords in the world, is our keynote Friday morning, and just lots of great other folks. Mara's moderating a design panel. We have some amazing designers on that panel, which we're super excited about. So September 18th through the 20th, don't miss it. The site is thegwaconference.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But back to our regularly scheduled program here. Yeah. What else? So
NeoCon has seminars. I think we talked about that a little bit earlier. So anyone, operator, designer, looking at co-working space, there was a big track this year on sustainability. There's another big track on public spaces. And like I said, designing for outdoor space. So those were some of the highlights that I saw. Last year, I went to about 5 sessions on co-working. This year, there was only one and I did not attend, but it was just interesting in my perspective to hear what other people who are not in co-working talk about for co-working.
Right.
So maybe next year, Jamie, you and I will have to do a session.
I know. We'll have to do something. I definitely feel like I have to go. I'm having a little FOMO hearing you talk about all of the neat things that were there. I'm just looking at your notes to see.
I want to highlight a couple things that I love. So two of my favorite showrooms this year were OFS and Herman Miller, and one for their use of materials. They had wallpaper, like I said, and plants and warm tones and pillows. But what they did is they really showcased what a real office would be like. So they did have work zones and they had the scattered gathering spaces, which we do, as you know. But they did things like elevated, they had a two-step up where you in OFS where you can have a sectional sofa, like a bench sofa with some tables and chairs, and they kind of show how to do that. But it was really interesting to have the three dimension in the space so you could look down on what the office is like. And we've done that. We have some lofts in a couple of our co-working spaces and have designed some similar in other co-working spaces, but it was really fun to see. But a new product that they're all coming out with, and Buzzy Space had the same thing, which if you don't know about Buzzy Space, everyone should on this podcast that's listening. They were recently purchased by Hayworth, but it is specific to acoustic. So acoustic panels, acoustic light fixtures, and OFS, Herman Miller, and Buzzy Space this year all had what I'm going to call vertical separation. So that it was like a post and beam system that was 8 feet tall, and they look like almost sticks, like a column, but narrow. And then you can either put ceiling details on it or wall details on it. But the most prevalent or the most interesting to me were curtains, drapery curtains. So they have a track built into it. So if you wanted like one of the walls to be a marker wall, you could have that. Or if you wanted one to be solid fabric or solid, even a hard surface panel, if you wanted to, you could. But there were just draperies everywhere, from sheer drapes to translucent drapes to more opaque and velvet drapes of all different kinds, some layered, some didn't, and basically offering acoustic solutions. So in our Arlington Heights and Frisco space, we have glass walls, but inside some of our meeting rooms to add a sense of privacy, we put a drapery track and so people can open or close. So it's just a way to give options if someone needs more privacy, if they have something on the monitor or they just, want to have a more intimate, not intimate in the office, but you know what I'm saying? More private discussion. Mm-hmm. They can close the curtain, but you still get some light that comes through it. Well, you know, there were a lot of showrooms that kind of showed that as well. But I like the idea in the open space, if you want to kind of close your door without a door, you can like pull the drape closed.
Right.
You know? So that was something I loved. I'll send you a couple pictures, Jamie, so you can put them on.
Yeah, we'll put them in the show notes. Perfect.
For sure. The other thing was there is a lot of storage that divides space. So when you have desks in an open area, and let's say you don't want to put this post and beam system that has curtains or other things, but you want to provide a multifunction solution, you can have, let's say it's 18 or 24 inches deep. You then put desks up to it, but you can separate this 24-inch cavity with stored either sliding storage or a shelf, but it's for one side or the other. So like opposite treatment. And I'll give you some pictures of that too, but everyone had those solutions. And one in particular that I was pleasantly pleased to see was Loftwall. So mm-hmm. Jane, I know you and I have talked about that before, but they have a product called Shift Launch, and it comes in just, you know, two standard widths and three colors and two standard heights, but it has these panels that you could put in this, again, box in the shelves so that you can have one side, two sides. So they call it, you know, build your space with shelves, storage that divides space. Very interesting. So that was really fun. When we go to Neocon, we just don't go to the major manufacturers. We go to the seventh floor, which has these booths as well. And there are some really fun things that we found. And so as an interior design firm, you know, in business for 20 plus years, we are always looking for new solutions or alternative solutions, things that we need in a project. And we love not having to do custom. So maybe there's someone who does something, you know, unique. Well, we found this one manufacturer called Sorb. It's spelled capital F, capital S-O-R-B. And they're acoustic panels that come from 100% recycled water bottles. So wow. We love that.
Yeah.
They come in 3-inch thick all the way up to like close to 3 inches thick. And they come in like a 4x8 sheet, but they'll customize too. So you can use this material in ceiling details, you can like over a reception area, over a seating area in a meeting room. They also come as wall panels. You can do different designs, how you bolt it on the wall. You could multiple things you could do with it. But I just love the idea of finding a resource that, you know, is one recycled water bottles, super fun, but also has great colors and different a variety of thicknesses. We also found this company called Murals Your Way when we were walking. If you went to the Workplace Studio Instagram post, you'll see some of our design team is standing in front of this map of Chicago that has, Neocon at the Merchandise Mart, you know, June 2019. Well, that was a mural by this company, and you can give them any picture, any image, and they'll make it on a wallpaper type material. But they'll actually do murals that you can apply on vinyl, like to glass, or you can apply it to walls. I mean, just really fun stuff.
Good to know.
We like finding stuff like that. And then, of course, we already told you about the Benjamin Moore paint. So lots of fun.
I see a note here, Claridge chalkboard.
Okay, so Claridge, you guys know who Claridge is? Like in your school, in your elementary school, all your basic old blackboards on the wall were Claridge. So it's probably 100-something-year-old company. And, you know, we've used them for solutions, you know, old school marker boards too, and all kinds of other things. But I was pleasantly pleased that they have a whole new line of now mobile marker boards and really fun design. So you can have their panels that have feet, so you can use them again to divide space, whether you're sectioning off a meeting area or you want to put between two desks or a run of desks or at the end of a workstation or a bench cluster. Different kind of fabric, magnetic, glass, or panel marker boards. And they also have dividers of space that you can use like mini walls, almost like you see kind of an outdoor. You know, when you go, you see cafes or seating areas and they have little panels.
Off.
Okay. But these are really fun. You could use them in the office, and they are wood slats or fun slats on the bottom, but they have marker boards or tack boards on the top, and you can use them to divide space. So again, a very fun, like new take for an old school manufacturer.
Yeah. Okay, and I see one more here, Cascando.
So Cascando, never heard of them before, but they actually source a lot of the main manufacturers, and all they do is workspace accessories. Again, mobile marker boards, egg coat racks, freestanding acoustic panels to help divide space, and you know, separate dividing with a design interest. So very high design, very nice, but affordable. So that's the fun thing, is when you go there, you can find things that are affordable too.
Good. Yeah. And I will put, oh yeah, I'm looking at their website. Mm. Like those coat racks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will definitely put all these links in the show notes, because I have Mara's notes and I was just loading websites while she was talking to check everything out. It's so much easier to see it visually. Right. Yeah. What else? Anything else you want to share before we wrap up?
So just a couple new trends. You know, when we finished the show, we all sat around and were like, what trends did you see? What trends do you like? Or what are things that we would think we can call trends now? So one, we already talked about the pastels and pinks, and jewel tones. So although they're similar but different. The other thing is what ombre. Mm. So ombre is like using a single color, a family of color in a product. So just think of a sectional sofa, but each section is a different color tone of the same color. So like there's one section I'll send you a picture of that had is yellow, but each of the sections is a different tone of yellow. Pretty cool. And then we saw that in like a burgundy type thing. Carpet tiles are doing that too. So in one tile, let's say you have a 2x2 tile on the ground, the fiber itself has like a tone on tone, like a blue is what stands out in my mind that we saw. And when you put those together, you know, in a pattern on the floor or just a random pattern, it's just kind of fun to see how the blend of the different colors come out in this ombre fashion. So the other thing we saw a lot of, that's like ombre is using the same color family. We also saw a lot of mixing of color, which is sometimes they executed well, sometimes they didn't. So say anything negative, but let's say there was a really nice charcoal gray table, and it had every chair around the table was a different color.
Okay, so, got so it.
That type of thing.
Totally easy, like. Hard to do well, easy to screw up.
Correct. Yeah.
I always think that when people do that in their houses, like they do the all different chairs around the dining room table, like you have to have an eye for that.
Right. So wallpaper's back. We talked about that. So wallpaper. It's more expensive, obviously, in the beginning, but if you think of maintenance and wear and tear and that type of thing, you know, it's, you know, I encourage that. And then the other really fun thing, and I'll kind of end, like this would be the last trend, is crafty industrial look. So there were so many natural wood or plywood being used in contract furniture. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy. So that front edge of a work surface, for example, would be a natural color, not like a vinyl edge or not self edge. Mm-hmm. So the same laminate on top is on the side. No, this was like natural. Mm-hmm. And even Technion won, is another manufacturer, and they won an innovation award for, they have these boxes. They're like plywood boxes. Stacking boxes that you can stack and unstack to reconfigure, kind of like Legos, whether you want to make a desk, whether you want to make a seating area, whether you want to make shelving, moving it in and out, that kind of thing. Mm. But we saw a lot of use of plywood and raw wood, even rough to the touch. It wasn't smooth.
Yeah, like interesting.
Wood. Very interesting.
Mm. Did you like it? Mm. I'm just telling you what I saw. I'm not judging.
Well, some, I'll show you, there's, well, the best, I'm trying to think of the name of manufacturer, Watson, Watson, has some very nice product, and they won best of show for height adjustable table, actually. Oh. It is the cleanest line, nicest height adjustable table I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's four very simple legs. Nothing bulky whatsoever. The frame is clean and nice. And the button that you push to adjust height up and down is just two simple buttons on the top of the work surface. And actually, I took a video of Lindsay moving the table up and down. I could send to you. The edges of all their work surface are this natural wood, and they look great. But it's done very well, very clean. Because the whole design is very clean of a product, but that's a very good example of a successful raw edge, or, you know, this industrial look.
They have a great photo on their website, which illustrates a little bit about what we've been talking about dividers. They have their dividers between their workstations are like thin shelves that hold plants. So you get that visual sort of privacy feeling and greenery all in one.
Right. That's it. That's what we're seeing.
So good. Mara, thanks for sharing all of your, thanks for going so that you could, of course you're local. So one of these times I'm gonna get there. It'll be a good excuse to take a trip back to Chicago. But it seems like it's a great trip for someone to put into their plans if they're working on a new space or doing multiple locations and just really kind of want to be on top of what's out there and what the trends are and always be kind of on the cutting edge of what's new and happening.
Yep, for sure.
Good. Well, thank you for your time today. And I have Mara's notes, so I'll drop them into the show notes with a link so that you can go and get a visual. And then, yeah, Mara, any pictures that you send, I will add to the show notes as well.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, it was fun. Glad to share.
Looking forward to the next episode that we have for you. If anybody has any requests, send them along for topics. Okay, awesome. We will wrap it up. Thanks. And until next time.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.